Everybody, I apologize to all those who were here last week. I was not here. I was under the impression that we were sponsoring a program, so I didn't know that we were having a shiur at the same time. Next week is the Lag BaOmer Madura. I will give them in Chamayr, but there won't be a shiur. But then the following 2 weeks, there will be a shiur. We make the Hara every year. Not sure what the heter is. If anyone knows a good pshat, what is the heter to make a Madura on the night of Lag BaOmer? If we would never say Mixas Hayom Kekula Balayla, person Rachman Azlan is sitting Shiva, we don't say Mixayam Kekula Balayla. Some Rishonim do say that, but we hold in Shulchan Aruch, Mixayam Kekula is only once the daytime comes. So where this idea come from, the Minig of the Chassidim to already make a party Balayla, it's an interesting question, befrat the fact that we're not Chassidim, so where does it come from? So this is a good question, not my doing, but I don't know.
Making a Madura is another question.
Making a Madura is a separate question, but Stam to make... So do it the next night, do it Lad BaOmer. You want to make music? I don't know. Okay, interesting question. Be it as it may, tonight's shiur is really discussing a mistake that I made 2 weeks ago. There was a Shever Brachas by the Katz residence 2 weeks ago, and it was the Shever Brachas was by Shalosh Shudas that I was invited to, so I came, and they asked me to bench, so I benched, and I'm telling you, I've never had so little kavan in my benching. I'm sitting the whole benching, scratching my head, what are we going to do when it comes time to drink the cup of wine? I could not remember what is the minig, what's the halacha, what are you supposed to do? By Shever Brachas, when you bench way after Shkia, when it's already after Tseis, are you supposed to go ahead and drink the cup of wine for the Bar Priya Gafen from Shever Brachas, or do you just wait till after Havdalah? I had no idea.
Good thing it wasn't
so I'm trying to think back, what did I do by my Shever Brachas? I couldn't remember. So I figured somebody in the room is going to know what to do. I didn't say anything. So they go around the room, giving out all the Shever Brachas, and it comes Bar Priya Gafen. They turn to me, Rabbi, what do we do? I said, I don't know. Does anyone know? So nobody knew, and everyone started fighting. Everyone thought they knew, and everyone was arguing back and forth, making
that's
up different svaras.
Huh? That's the minute to fight.
Oh, no, fighting very very nicely. And I wasn't sure what that lach is. So I decided that Sheval Tasa Adiv, it's probably better not to violate perhaps the Isra of drinking before Abdullah. And that's what we did. So it was a mistake. I made the mistake. It's not a terrible mistake because some Acharonim say like that, but it seems the prevalent minig is not so. So I want to go through this mistake and explain what the halacha is all about, what the issues are involved, and now hopefully nobody else will make the same mistake that I did because all those who are listening will hear it here, and all those listening online will hear it later. So the Gemara, let's begin like this. The one is not a Havdalah. Where does this halacha come from? One is not allowed to eat Havdalah generally does not mean that one is not allowed to eat before you daven ma'ariv. What we're talking about is, you daven ma'ariv, you go to shul, and then you come home. Before you make Abdullah, you shouldn't eat anything. So where does that come from? So we have a Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Kuv Zayin, where the Gemara says in Arvei Pesachim, Armalei mar yinuka mark shisha breder av chista der avashi. Zim nachada ikla amemar la asrin. One time, Amemar, the great Amora, came to our town, and what happened? V'la havelan chamer. We didn't have any wine, it just happened to be. We were poor people, we didn't have wine to give him. I seen alei shichra. So we brought him a cup of beer, and we said, go make Abdullah on the cup of beer. What's the problem? Below Abdul, Amemar refused to make Havdalah on the beer, Ubas Tavas, which means in Aramaic, he didn't eat. He went ahead the whole night, he didn't make Havdalah, so he didn't eat. Lamachar, the next day on Sunday, Tarachna Vaisina Lechamra, we went out of our way, we spent a lot of money, and we went to buy wine. Va'Abdil, and then he made Havdalah on Sunday, Vitamidi, then he went ahead and he had a meal, he had breakfast after he already made the Havdalah. Lashana then came the next year, Amemar used to come, you know, we have a Lakewood Shabbos here, so they used to have the Amemar Shabbos in their town. So the next year, Amemar comes back. Su ikla lasran, he comes back to our town again. Lo havalan chamer, same thing happened. We're poor people, we don't have wine. We forgot that last year he wouldn't make Havdalah on the schnapps, on the beer. So I seen a shichra again, we made the same mistake, we brought him the beer. Amar, so now Amemar says, well, it's my second time in the town already. Both times when he didn't have wine, you bring me shechra, you bring me beer. Amar, he says, ihachi chamar medinu, must be that this is a chamar medina. What is the definition of chamar medina is a good question. But in simple layman's terms, Chamar Medina means something which we would serve a guest to be mechabed him. So, water obviously wouldn't count for Chamar Medina, means something special that we would serve. So nowadays we assume Chamar Medina would be something like coffee, something of that kind of nature. So that would be Chamar Medina. So over here, now he says, 2 years in a row you give me beer, means it's not just like water, means beer is something that you're mechabed a guest with. So he says, oh, Avdil Batamidi, he says, I'm allowed to go ahead and make Avdala now with this, because now I realize that beer is Chamar Medina. Says the Gemara, from here you see Shemami Natlas. You see three halachas from this din. My father always likes to point out, whenever I learn with him, he points this out from all the different Gemaras that we learn. Let's say when you get to a Gemara like this, he always likes to say from Rav Soloveitchik that on Pesach night, Rav Soloveitchik said, he was explaining the Haggadah, so he says it every year by our Seder, but he says it also when we learn our Haggadah to Gemaras like this. So you have, Soloveitchik pointed out that we start off the Seder, we say, Maisa Rebbe Lazar with the five Zkenim, and then it says that the Chachamim came along and told them that you're making a mistake. I'm sorry, that they said he gives man kriyas mashal shachris, and they made him stop. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out when he was talking about the Haggadah that by us it's very different than the Umas Olam. By us, when we want to figure out what's the halacha, what's the proper way to act, you look to the Chachamim. And that's the way we know that that's the right thing to do, because generally we have Emunas Chachamim. Yes, once in a while Chachamim make a terrible mistake, and sometimes that mistake is something that we cannot excuse and we cannot forgive, but at the same time, generally we assume that we look to our Chachamim and they're the ones who guide us, they're the ones who tell us what to do. So the best way to learn what to do is to look at the Chachamim. How is it in politics? You look around. Imagine, Achen Vey, imagine if we try to figure out what's the legal system in America, you're going to start looking at the politicians to figure out what's the law. So this one's sitting in jail for this, this one's on corruption charges for that, this one's getting arrested for something else. Everybody's doing the wrong thing. But by us, it's a very different concept. So over here, when the Gemara wants to bring a raya to something, look at the Gemara. It says, Shema Minatlas. We learn three halachas from what? Not because the Gemara had a whole pilpul back and forth, the Chacham, and we're having a machlegis. No. We learned three halachas because Amemar once came to visit a town, and we watched the way he acted. And because of the way he acted, we can extrapolate three halacha lemaisa practices that we can take into our daily lives. So this is just an important inyani hashkafa, how we're supposed to view Emunas Chacham. So the Gemara over here says, Shema Minah Tlas. We see three things from the way Amemar acted. Number one, Shema Minah Hamavda Betfila Tzarech Sheyavda Lalakos. Number one, Amemar seemingly davened shul, and he probably was using a sitter, and he didn't forget to say Atachan Antanu. So he davened in shul, he says Atachan Antanu. Still, you see that a person has to say Havdalah Alakos as well. Shramina number two, halacha, Asul Adam Shiyochel Kodem Shiyavdil. Halacha number two is, we gave Amemar, the first year that he came, we gave Amemar beer, and he didn't want to make Havdalah on the beer. And he waited till the next day in order to make Havdalah on the wine, but that night he wouldn't eat anything. Why? You see from here, halacha, that you're not allowed to eat before you make Havdalah. Shmamina number three, Mishalo Hivdil Mamatsu Shabbos, Mavdil Beholech, Kol HaShabbos Kula, which is not so mukher, maybe it just means Sunday. This is a good question. And Kol HaShabbos Kula, what does it mean? All week, we know the halach is you're only allowed to do till Tuesday. In fact, Menchas Chinuch has an interesting chiddush. Menchas Chinuch says, a tzad, I don't know if it's halach al-maisa, I doubt it, but the Menchas Chinuch has a tzad to say that the same way you're allowed to make Havdalah till Tuesday because a week is the block of time, right? So you have from Tuesday to Tuesday, this is considered, the Gemara says in Gittin, already starting Wednesday is considered Lefnei HaShabbos, and until Tuesday is considered Achar HaShabbos. So now we can still say we're right after Parshas Tazria Metzor. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, you're after the next Parsha. But over here, this is what we say. So we have a week as the block of time, so you can make Havdalah until Tuesday, because that's still part of this block of time. So Menchas Chinuch has it sad to say, what if a person doesn't make Havdalah after Yom Tov? So how long does he have to make Tashlumin? So you'll say, what do you mean? Yom Tov is over on Shabbos, let's say, Yom Tov and Matzah Shabbos, so you say, you have till Tuesday. What Shaykh is Tuesday? What if Yom Tov is over on a Wednesday? So how long do you have? You have till the next Shabbos? Menchas Chinuch says, maybe you have halfway until the next Yom Tov. The same way you have halfway till the next Shabbos, till Tuesday night, says Menchas Chinuch, Misvara, if we block it up based on how often this comes, so every Shabbos, you say, you break it down into a half a week, and you have a half a week to make Tashlumin for what you missed. And maybe he says, maybe you should have a half a year, whatever, between Pesach and Sukkot, maybe you should have 6 months, so you should say 3 months, halfway in between Pesach and Sukkot, you're still allowed to make Havdalah for Pesach. So,
what? Several Shabbos in between that you make Havdalah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so Stam, it's a...
It doesn't make sense.
I don't know.
Oh,
as long as it lingers till Tuesday, right? But you don't see that from the story. You see from the story, the Gemara brings a raya. You're allowed to make Havdalah later. I see that. I don't see a raya you can make till Tuesday. It just says Sunday morning they went to get wine. So you don't really see a raya. Okay. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nihyeh
B'dvaro. That's what Yom Rabbi, Shir Shanyon,
right, to get you into Shabbos, right? So we have another Gemara in Avri Pesachim Daf Kufei where the Gemara says also Kalatoim Klum Kodem Sheyavdil. Anyone who drinks anything, who eats something before making Havdalah Misas Askara, person will die because we consider this to be an Avera Chamura, something you're not allowed to do. Where does this come from? Why are you not allowed to eat before Havdalah? So the Pashtus is, I would have said, the same way in Shulchan Aruch we find throughout, and we spoke about it many times, you're not allowed to eat before you daven, you're not allowed to eat before you make Havdalah, you're not allowed to eat before you do Bedikas Chametz, you're not allowed to eat before you do many mitzvahs, you can't eat before you daven Mincha either. So generally we assume, since you're not allowed to eat before you do many mitzvahs, so too over here, you're not allowed to eat before you make Havdalah. However, it seems that this halacha is very different. It's very different. Let's say a person, we assume, you're not allowed to eat a meal before you light halakas neiros Chanukah, right? You're not allowed to eat a meal before you do bedikas chametz. What happens if I go ahead and I eat? Is there any tzad to say that I shouldn't go ahead and do bedikas chametz tonight because I violated the isra of achila? No. What's the reason why you're not allowed to eat? Shemi yimashich achas shulchana. We're afraid. Maybe you're going to get so involved in the meal, you're going to forget to do the bedikas chametz. No. I go down, I sit to eat. Someone makes a clap on the table. By the way, it's bedikas chametz night. You forgot to do the bedika. It's Chanukah. You forgot to do halakas neiros Chanukah. Okay, so we'll stop what we're doing. We did something wrong. You go ahead and you do what you're supposed to do. Over here, the Gemara is a suffix as follows. Oh, so there's two differences. Number one, over here, the Gemara, just 1 second. Over here, the Gemara has a suffix, maybe, the Gemara has a suffix in Arvei Pesachim, whether Ta'am Mavdil or Ta'am Eina Mavdil. The Gemara is a tzad to say, maybe if you eat before Abdullah, you're done. You're not allowed to make Abdullah anymore. So it seems there's more to it than just the regular din of Shemei Yimashech Achar Shulchano. You come to Bedikas Chametz night, a person by mistake goes ahead and he eats, so if you realize in the middle that you're not supposed to be doing it, you stop and you go ahead and you do your Bedikas Chametz, no Shaila. But over here, the Gemara is atzad to say, maybe it ruins your whole Abdullah. It sounds like Abdullah has to be somehow very closely connected to the Shabbos, and therefore to go ahead and do something else in between would not be permissible. You look in Shulchan Aruch and Reish Tzadi Tes, I didn't put it on here, but the Shulchan Aruch has, Asur lechol shum davar, afilo lishtos yayin, or shar mashkim chutz mimayim, you're not allowed to eat or drink anything, even just a taste. The Shulchan Aruch says water is a little bit different. However, Shulchan Aruch assumes that you're not allowed to eat anything before going ahead and doing Havdalah. Zak to Shulchan Aruch, what's the halacha l'maisa? B'diyevet, we assume, if a person goes ahead and he eats before Havdalah, we assume tam mavdil. Even if you eat, even though the Gemara is a suffik in Arvei Pesachim, maybe once you eat you're not allowed to make Havdalah at all, the Gemara's maskana is no, even if you go ahead and you eat and you did the wrong thing, you're allowed to go ahead and make Havdalah anyway. So the Gemara has a very interesting discussion, and this is in Brachas Daf Lamed Gimel. Says the Gemara, what was the history of Havdalah? Where did Havdalah come from and how does it work? So the Gemara says as follows, B'tchila kavua b'tfila. In the beginning they said, everybody should say Havdalah atachan antanu, and that's going to be good enough. Later has Shiru, later people became wealthier, and they realized, Chazal realized that people were able to afford wine. So they said, why get away with just making a hefsek in the middle of Shemona Esrei? Let's have everybody make Havdalah on a cup of wine. Kavua ala kos. Hanu, then Gagal Chozer Olam, right? It came back around. People became poor again. They couldn't afford wine. So Chazal came along and made a new takana, Chozer Kavu B'tfila. They said, you know what? Forget about the cup of wine. Let's go back to doing it in the Shemona Esrei. V'heim amru ha-mavde b'tfila tzarech she'avdal ala kos. And now, when things are pretty much, we can afford wine. So they said, it's good that you should do both. You should do Havdalah in the tefillah, and you should do Havdalah ala kos. So we have this Gemara, which tells us the history of Havdalah, and now the halacha l'maisa that we assume is we do it in both. Then the Gemara has a suffix. Boi minei Rav Chisda. You see, after the three dots, the last line over here, number bays. Boi minei Rav Chisda mei Rav Sheshes. Ta bezu bezu mahu. Meaning what? What's the halacha nowadays that we have the minhag to make Havdalah both in Shemona Esrei and ala kos? So what if I forget in Shemona Esrei? No problem. You don't repeat Shemona Esrei. You go ahead. Make Havdalah. Oh, says the Gemara, what do you do? Ta bazu bazu mahu. Not clear. What does it mean? Ta bazu bazu. I make a mistake in both. I didn't do both. So what? Now it's Sunday morning? That's what I would have said. Ta bazu bazu means I forgot to say it in Shemona Esrei, and the whole night went by, and I forgot to make Havdalah. Now it's Sunday morning, what do I do? That's what I would have thought the Gemara means, but it's not what it means. Amar lei, ta bazu bazu, chozer l'rosh. You see ready from the answer, what do you mean chozer l'rosh? What can he do now? So the Rishonim explain like this. The Rajbra, the Rosh Rabbeinu Yonah, they say, what the Gemara means to say is like this. What happens if a person forgets to say Havdalah in Shemona Esrei? Generally we assume, so you say it ala kos. Then I come home and I mistakenly eat before making Havdalah. So that's called ta bazu bazu. I made two mistakes. Number one, I forgot to do in Shemona Esrei. Number two, I came home and I made a mistake and I ate before I made Havdalah. So what's the din? Says the Chozer l'Rosh. What does it mean? Got to go back and say Shemona Esrei again. Got to go back and start all over. You messed up the whole Matzah Shabbos. I can say Shemona Esrei again without the Chanan Tanu, and then you go and you make Havdalah afterward. So it's very surprising. Bir Allah, what? Oh, what's the svar? Why should you say that? Meaning it's a very good kasha.
No, because if you forget ordinarily in Shemona Esrei, you make Havdalah. So why should eating negate that?
So make the kasha even stronger. The kasha is even stronger. Ordinarily, what you're saying is correct, but it's only half of the strength of the kasha. Ordinarily, if I forget in Shemona Esrei, so you make Havdalah. Okay. Ordinarily, if I say Atachan Antanu, but I eat before making Havdalah, how do we paskin? go ahead and you make Abdullah. So you put those two halachas together, we should say, so now you go ahead and you make Abdullah. What's the shaila? So no, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes from Rabbeinu Yonah, no, over here, we give you a knas. You made two mistakes, you're so irresponsible, you don't know what the halach is, you forgot Shmoneh Esrei, you're not paying attention, and you made a mistake over here that you forgot, and you ate before Abdullah, you're an ice dwarf, what's with you? So therefore the Rabbeinu Yonah says, you gotta go back, start all over from scratch, as if nothing happened. Daven Shmoneh Esrei again without the Chanatanu, go ahead and make Abdullah now, and make sure that you do Abdullah without eating something once you've davened Shmoneh Esrei. So here we have, this is just the background, this is the halacha that one is not allowed to eat before making Havdalah. So now, what happens? Is a person allowed to eat Shalashudas after Shkia? Well, you're not supposed to. Obviously, the Chatchila, the halacha is you have to wash before Shkia. I've been asking all my years in the White Shul here, which are soon coming to a close, but I've asked, why do we always make Mincha so close to Shkia? By the time we finish Mincha, if the Chazan has even one more ounce of Kavana, we're always washing after Shkia. So it's b'dievet to wash after Shkia. Many Achronim say you're not even allowed to wash after Shkia. So why do we always do that? It's a very good question. I'm not sure. What? Right. I'm finally coming to the realization that it seems the shul is Hasidish. Right? We have a Madura on Lag BaOmer. We bench after Shkia. I mean, we watch after Shkia. Yeah, everything. I don't know. Moving to the right or the left. I don't know. So the... Kabbal Shabbos after Shkia is a major problem. Kabbal Shabbos after Shkia...
Basically, every shul.
Kabbal Shabbos after Shkia, when I raised that to Rabbi Feiner, he said, it's not Stam a problem. He made the problem even bigger than I ever realized. He said, the problem I thought, meaning you lose out on Tosefes Shabbos. I never thought of it, because, I don't know, I was just used to davening, so I didn't realize. I wasn't looking outside. However, Rabbi Feiner said, there's Chilul Shabbos. Why? Because people who are running a little bit late pull into the driveway of the shul, pull into the parking lot of the shul. You always see people davening Mincha in the hallway after already in the middle of Kabbalah Shabbos. So how'd they get here? So some people walk, many people drive. So he said, there are people who drive, who show up after it's already Shkia, because they realize, well, shul is called for 5:30, okay, if I get there 5:40, it's no big deal, I'll catch up. What do you mean? If you get there 5:40, yeah, you'll catch up, but you drove on Shabbos. So it's a bigger problem than you think. Okay, so we got to work out this manim. Maybe the next assistant we have, we'll figure it out. But anyway, no, it's all good. Rabbi Feiner said he spoke to Rabbi Pelkowitz about that, about the Tosefes Shabbos. Rabbi Pelkowitz said, he had a Masura from someone, I forgot already what this was. We had this discussion a long time ago, but Rabbi Pelkowitz said something to the effect of, if you're Mekabel Shabbos too early, you know, people are running late on Friday, and you know, it's not right to make people feel like they're always late, or something like that. I don't know. So even though every other shul in the neighborhood might daven 5 minutes earlier, there has to be a place for people to go where they can be Mekabel Shabbos, even though they came home late from work. Okay? So we have to be Mizaris people to make sure that they don't do Malacha on Shabbos. Okay, that's something to be careful about. So anyway, so what's the Halacha? What if I didn't eat Shalashudas? What if I didn't eat Shalashudas? So what do I do? And now it's after Shkia. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Suda Shlishis, Yesh Lahakel, and the Sharatzian writes, V'Kvar Nogu Lahakel, we have the minhag to be Mekel, to wash even after Shkia. However, everyone agrees, the Mishnah Berurah himself agrees, L'chatchil, it's not the right thing to do. So obviously, if you're stuck, so the Mishnah Berurah says, Kvar Nogu Lahakel, we do it. But this is something that we should be careful about. So there's many different opinions about this, and in fact, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa writes that Rav Shlomo Zalman was very, very opposed to it, to a person going ahead and washing after Shkia. He felt that it was not right, and Rav Shlomo Zalman even said that if a person finds himself after Shkia, and he realizes that it's already after Shkia, and he's not, and he has a shaila, should I wash or not? So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, if the person had any mizonos, usually we have some, you know, a long Shabbos afternoon, you have some snack before you go to shul. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, as long as you had mizonos, it's better that you should rely on the mizonos that you had, even though you didn't wash. That should count for your shalashudas, than to violate the isra of eating after Shkia. That's what Rav Shlomo Zalman suggested. I once asked my father, how much time would you give somebody to wash after Shkia? You know, some say Rav Moshe said 9 minutes, 7 minutes, or something. My father said, what? My father said, I wouldn't give him 1 second. A real litvak.
What is the vine? Yeah.
Oh, so that's because it's an isser to eat before Abdullah. Now already the chiv Abdullah has set in.
But he didn't do Meir yet.
Okay. So. But it's Zman Abdullah.
Yeah, but if you wash before Shkia, you're eating after Shkia, so you're eating before
Abdullah. Oh, so that's what we call hischa beheter. You're already starting beheter, so that's okay. But over here, if you're going to wash after Shkia, that's a big shayla. I remember I once asked my father also, somebody called me up, they forgot to do bedika. Somebody from the shul called up, so they wanted to know, do you have the 9 minutes? So I know Rabbi Feiner very often tells people that they can have a couple of minutes after Shkia. So I told them, you know, they were trying to get in touch with Rabbi Feiner. They weren't trying to ask me. So I said, you know, Rabbi Feiner usually tells people you have a couple of minutes, so it's fine. But you know, you have to be careful. So later on, I asked my father, "Nu, what do you tell people? A woman forgets to do bedika. How long do you give?" He says, "Not a second. Too bad. You know, you missed it. You missed it. You got to go to the next thing." So there's different shittas. What?
You can do Havdalah by Shkia.
Why not?
You can do Havdalah from Klag HaMincha.
You're allowed to make Havdalah from Klag HaMincha. In fact, there's a... Just 1 second. What? No.
No smoking.
No, we're going to be machmir not to do malacha till tzeis, but to make Havdalah, you're already allowed to make from Klag HaMincha and on. You're ready to make Havdalah. In fact, some achronim say, you have a shaila like this. For example, Rachmana Litzlan, you have somebody who passes away on Shabbos. So the children are going to be onanim. On Shabbos, we hold as no aninus. It only sets in after Shabbos. There's a big discussion in the Achronim. What do you do about Havdalah? So some Achronim say, well, if the Levi is going to be Sunday morning, so let them make Havdalah. As long as the Levi is going to be before Tuesday, so we assume that the Evan, you're allowed to make Havdalah before Tuesday, so up to Tuesday. So they say, make Havdalah whenever you get back from the Beis HaKvaros. So some say. Other Achronim say, well, let's say you have somebody pass away in the house, and you have children and grandchildren in the house. So the grandchildren after Shabbos are going to make Havdalah. They're not owning him. Only the children are owning him. So as long as you didn't ask them to do it, you happen to be sitting there and you hear them make the bracha, so you got to Havdalah. Okay, it's different etzes that are given. My father told me that when my mother's father was in the hospital, he passed away on a Shabbos. My father at the time, this was 30 years ago, so he told me that he wasn't such a big Talmud Chacham then, okay? For those who know him, know that he was. But I guess he wasn't a practicing rabbi, so this didn't come up so often. So he had this shaila. My grandfather passed away Shabbos afternoon. They were faced with a shaila. What do they do about Havdalah? So they all asked him, what should we do? So my father said he didn't know because he didn't have any svarim there in the hospital. So he suggested the following. We found later that the svardisha achronim say that you should do the following. The svardim say, well, right now you're not an onin. You're only going to become an onin after Shabbos. The Ramah paskins that you're allowed to make Havdalah b'dievet after Klag HaMincha. So my father paskin, let's make Havdalah on Shabbos. It sounds strange, but make Havdalah on Shabbos you're allowed to. This is Shas HaTchak. Once Matzah Shabbos comes along, you're not going to be allowed to make Havdalah. So my father told them, not looking at any svarim, he thought just misvara, that you're allowed to rely in a case like this on that Ramah that says you're allowed to make Havdalah after Plag, because this is Shas HaTchak. Once Shabbos goes out, then you're not going to be able to make Havdalah anymore. Okay, it's different shitas, different minhagim. A lot of Hilchos Avelah says minhagim, but what you see is, obviously we hold, and extenuating circumstances, you are allowed to make Havdalah already after Plag HaMincha. So now back to where we are. So again,
what are you afraid of?
So it has to be generally by other mitzvahs. Let's say by bedikas chametz, by hadlakas neres chanukah, it's shami yimashich. Shami yimashich. The Achronim point out over here, it seems to be a lot more. It seems to be more. Why? Because from the fact that the Gemara has a havmina that if I go ahead and I eat, I'm not allowed to make havdalah anymore. The Gemara has a havmina like that. So we paskin b'di'eved, not so. We paskin even if you eat, you're allowed to make havdalah. But from the fact that the Gemara, it's such a tzad to say such a thing, it seems there's more to it. It's not just shami yimashich. So what is it? Sounds, I'm not sure, but it sounds like Havdalah has to be closely connected to the end of Shabbos. So if you go ahead and you're mafsik with doing malach, or you're mafsik with going ahead and eating, so you miss the whole boat. Havdalah is supposed to, so to speak, usher the Shabbos out. You're going to go ahead and eat in between. So that's not, that you're ruining the whole theme of what Havdalah is supposed to be. Kiddush is supposed to usher the Shabbos in. Havdalah is supposed to usher the Shabbos out. The Rambam, in fact, puts Kiddush and Havdalah together as one mitzvah. That's Zachas Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. B'knisas Avitziyah, so you're supposed to usher the Shabbos in, usher it out. So if you're going to have a whole meal in between, that's going to, so to speak, ruin the flow of what we're trying to accomplish. In fact, my father says over the story that in the summers, they used to go to Rav Soloveitchik in Onset to go learn with Rav Soloveitchik in the summer. So one Shabbos afternoon, I think he writes over the story that a bunch of guys were sitting and eating Shalosh Shudas and washed before Shkia. And it was right before Shkia, and Rebbetzin Soloveitchik had yelled at them, "What are you guys doing, Yamaratzim?" So they didn't know what she was talking about. So she said, "Don't you know it's a machlokes rishonim? What do you do by the benching? Do you say ritzei or not?" Right. So we all get carried away with the shaila when it's yalav yava rish chodesh. But what about every Shabbos? The rishonim have the same machlokes every single Shabbos. What do you say in benching after Shkia? Do you say ritzei? Do you not say ritzei? Is Shabbos over just because the day is over? Do you say no? Shabbos lingers until you make Abdullah. It's a big machlokes. So we pass, can you say ritzei? But you're getting involved in a shaila. So she said, how do you boys, you don't have Yerusha Maim, you get involved in a shaila like this? You're washing right before Shkia. You know you're getting involved in such a shaila. How do you do such a thing? So, anyway, it's interesting. There's a lot to talk about, but let's move on. So over here, we have the halacha is a big discussion in the Achronim. Are you allowed to eat shalosh shudas after Shkia? So the Mishnah Berurah paskins b'dieved. If you didn't wash before the Shkia. The Mishnah Berurah writes, Kvar Nogu L'Hakel, that you're allowed to wash even after Shkia, because the din Shalosh Shudos is a very important halacha. So you're allowed to violate the din of eating before Havdalah, even though in order to be Mekayim the din of eating Shalosh Shudos. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. If Shlomo Zalman, on the other hand, Shmir Shabbos Kalchasa quotes, Shlomo Zalman is very machmer. He said, no, you got to be very careful, and you, as long as you ate something in the afternoon, which was Mazonos, he says, you should not go ahead and wash even after Shkia, even if it's 1 minute after Shkia. Okay, so this is... Yeah.
More of the suffix. We heard in the name of Ravana Cutler that he said something about 7 minutes.
Different.
72 minutes.
That
was maker thing.
It's different sheetas. Anyway, so let's say I did everything right. I started Shalashudas way before, but I'm singing away. I'm having a Gansa Shalashudas. By the time it comes around to the benching, it's after Shkia, which happens in most people's homes. So that's what you do. So we have Machlokes HaRishonim, do you say Ritzei or not? We Paskin, do you say Ritzei? So that's what we all do. So now comes the question, let's say you bench Alakos. So do you drink that cup of wine or not? Well, you'll say Hisl B'Heter means everything I'm eating within the meal, so that's up until benching. But now the Kos, the cup of wine, is that really part of the meal? Well, on the one hand, it's part of the meal because it's attached to my birch samazim, which was a part of the meal. On the other hand, I already benched, so that's the cutoff. I have to make an alagafa now if I go ahead and drink a cup of wine. So it seems that it's going to be separate. So this is...
Isn't that kris ala sunnah of shal shuvah?
Yeah.
Of
forget shev brachas for now. Regular Shabbos. Regular Shabbos, I bench birch samazim ala kos. Am I allowed to make baruch priyagafen on that cup of wine? Right, so you'll say, well, it's already way after Shkia, and now the Isser Achilo Kadim Abdel already set in. So what's the din? So this is the Shaila. So the Magen Avraham says, the Shulchan Aruch writes, if a person benches Alakos, so the Shulchan Aruch talks about whether you're allowed to use that cup of wine for Abdel. Also, do you say it's Mrs. Chavilas? But whatever, the Magen Avraham points out, it's a Mereish Tzadites, Mutter Lishtos Kos Shel Bracha. Magen Avraham says, which is not what we would have thought, because we all are used to what we do in shul. What do we do in shul? We bench alakos, then we keep it for Abdallah. We don't drink it right away. So why is that? We'll see in a minute. Magen Avraham says, Me'ikar adin, a person would be allowed to drink the cup of wine, even though the Isser Achila Kadam Abdallah already set in. Why? Why? So the Achronim explain why the Magen Avraham said such a thing. Explain the Achronim. The reason why is because the whole cup of wine is connected to the meal that I did. So the whole meal that I ate was really Hischa B'Heter. I was allowed to eat that meal. Why was I allowed to eat that meal? Because I started way before the Shkia. It dragged on into Shkia and it went in and continued till right before Abdullah. It doesn't matter. And right now, I'm drinking this cup of wine only because it has a connection to the meal which was eaten totally B'Heter.
And the benching doesn't count that it ended the meal?
So that's what the Achronim say, that the Magen Avraham means to say that it's as if my meal extends a little bit after the benching. You have to make a new alagofen, so you see it's a different meal. No, but it's not, you wouldn't consider this a new achila, a new meal. The Magen Avraham says a chiddush, but the Magen Avraham says you'd be allowed to do so.
That's
now,
even though you know you're going to bench, you say I'm still going to be drinking following the
okay, similar. So now the question is, why the Magen Avraham have to come to this? Why don't you say like this? Why don't you say, you bench on a cup of wine, at the end of Shalosh Shudos, you say Birchas Hamazon on a cup of wine, and then you say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Borei Pri HaGafen, and don't drink it. Why isn't that an Eitzah? Why isn't that an Eitzah? So we have a Gemara in Brachas Daf Nun Beis, and a Gemara in Erev in Daf Mem, which says, HaMavarech Tzarech Sheyitom, which means, when a person makes a bracha, it's not right to just leave the cup and nobody should drink from it. You have to go ahead and drink. And it's a big shiloh, who has to drink? The one who made the bracha or somebody else? But we hold, HaMavarech Tzarech Sheyitom, somebody has to drink a malo lugma of a rov revius of wine after you make the Borei Pri HaGafen. This is the way we pass it in Shulchan Aruch, both in Siman Kuf Tzadi, as well as in Hilchos Kiddush and Siman Reish Ayin Gimel. Now, in fact, we paskin in Shulchan Aruch also, what's the halacha if a person makes Kiddush, and then before he has a chance to drink it, one of the kids comes along and knocks over the whole cup of wine. I'm sure it's happened in somebody's house. So what's the din? So you'll say, okay, so I didn't drink it, but my Kiddush was a Kiddush. Says the Shulchan Aruch, no. If you make Kiddush, and it's nishbach before you have a chance to drink it, you have to go ahead and make Kiddush again. Why? Because we take this halacha very seriously. Hamavarach Tzarech Sheyitom means, after you make the Borei Pri HaGafen, you have to actually go ahead and drink the cup of wine. Otherwise, your Kiddush would not be considered a Kiddush. Your Borei Pri HaGafen is not considered a valid Borei Pri HaGafen. So you look in the Sefer HaFikei Yam, he He writes a very shmaka hara. He says this already became famous, but it's already the Pnei Yeshua's kasha. Many others have it. Pesachet Shuvah quotes it, so you have a number gimel. Fiki Yam says, Ra'isi v'nasati alibi b'davar hanoi getzlenu. He says, I have a ha'ara. It's a very simple ha'ara. We've all seen this, but how come nobody's bothered by it? He says, Shemesara kedusha mevar halakos ve'ena toim klumi menu. You go to a wedding, Mesara kedusha makes bar piyargaf, and what happens? He doesn't drink. He gives it to the chas and gives it to the kala. By the way, chasna and kala, not always are they careful to drink what they're supposed to drink. But my father's chasna, Rav Moshe Feinstein, was there. And Rav Moshe told my father that for the birchas erisin, since you're not really mechuyav to make the birchas erisin ala kos, it's just a minig. So he said, you just have to drink, you just have to do it to ima, just have to taste it. For the birchas nisuin, since it's a real chiv to make birchas nisuin ala kos, you have to drink a rov revius. Well, when was the last time you saw chasna and kala really drink a rov revius by the wedding? I don't know. Haven't seen it. So something to be careful about next time you're Masada Kedushin. So anyway, the Afike Yam writes, but back to the point. It's very nice to give it to the Chasan and Kal and they drink what they're supposed to drink, but what about the Masada Kedushin himself? What about the Masada Kedushin himself? Oh, so let's see. Rak Noslan Chasam HaKal HaLitom V'lo Eidal Ma'asamcho Olam HaZeh. I don't understand why everybody's Mekel. L'anias Daiti Yesh B'Zeh Chashash Bracha L'Vatala K'moshe Nevor. He says, in my opinion, I think that this is a bracha levatela. Now, where is he coming from? What's this all about? So the halacha is like this. Let's say somebody wants to eat pretzels. So he has to make a bari mina mezonos. So I'm not eating pretzels. I don't eat junk. You only eat the pretzels. You don't know how to make a bracha. So can you come to me and say, can you make a bracha for me, bari mina mezonos, and you're not going to eat? What's the din? No. Why not? Because birchas hananen means the person who's having the hana has to make the bracha. Somebody else who's not having hana is not allowed to make the bracha. It's not a birchas hananen for me, it's a birchas hananen for you, so you have to make the bracha. Fine. What about a birchas hamitzvah? Let's say you need to put on tefillin. You don't know how to make the bracha. I know how to make the bracha. I already put on my tefillin. Am I allowed to make the bracha la niach tefillin on your behalf? What's the din? Yes. Why? It's like shofar. It's like birchas hamitzvah is different. Why? Yatza motzu. We assume. What? Kol Yisrael Reim Zebazet. Since it's a chiv to go ahead and be mekayim the mitzvah, Kolzman, the Ran explains, Kolzman, you haven't been mekayim your chiv. It's as if I have an incomplete kiyum ha-mitzvah as well. So therefore, I'm allowed to go ahead and recite the bracha again on your behalf. Birchas Hananen is not that way. There's no chiv to go and eat pretzels. You decide to go eat pretzels. There's a din before you eat the pretzels that you have to make a bracha. So I'm not allowed to recite the bracha on your behalf. You have to recite the bracha for yourself. However, the Gemara says in the end of Rosh Hashanah, there's two exceptions to the rule. Even though Birchas Hananen, we assume, you're generally not allowed to make on someone else's behalf. However, when it comes to Kiddush and Motzi Lechem and Haaretz for a meal, you are allowed to be Motzi someone else, even if you're not going to eat or drink. Why? Why is that? Because over here you have a Birchas HaMitzvah and a Birchas HaNenen comes together. Chazal came along and said, how are you supposed to eat a Suda Shabbos? Chazal told us, first you sit down and you make Kiddush. That's the mitzvah. Then you go ahead and you eat bread. It's not because you enjoy Kiddush and Challah. It's because that's what Chazal told you to do. So therefore, it's a Birchas HaNenen that comes together with a Birchas HaMitzvah. So therefore, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that I'm allowed to go ahead and do it for somebody else. Ask the Afikayam. Now we appreciate his kasha. When you have the Birchas Erisin, nowhere in Shas does it say that you're mechuyev to go ahead and make a Birchas Erisin alakos. It doesn't say that. Why do we make a Birchas Erisin alakos? The minig. Nice thing to do. Nice thing to do. No. So nice thing to do doesn't mean that Chazal were misakin it. If Chazal were misakin it, so in the end of the day, this Bar Piyagafen that I make by the Birchas Erisin, what is that? Is it a Birchas Hananen, Birchas HaMitzvah? Birchas Hananen. By the Birchas Nisuin, when I have Shever Brachas, so the Bar Piyagafen is an integral chelek, it's a part of the Shever Brachas. Chazal were misakin, make seven Brachas, one of those is a Bar Piyagafen, Birchas HaMitzvah, there's no Shaila. Birchas HaMitzvah, we assume, the same way Friday night Kiddush, you're allowed to be Motzi someone else, even if you don't drink, so too over here, by the Birchas Nisuin, you could say Bar Piyagafen, even though you don't drink. However, he's asking by the Birchas Erisin, where there's no concrete halacha that says you have to recite the Birchas Erisin on a cup of wine, now he has the kasha, how does the Masada Kedusha make the bracha if he's not going to drink? So now we appreciate what this kasha is all about. So in fact, the Stechemed writes that the minig in Kihilos Svarad was that the Masada Kedusha does drink from it. Easy.
Why not just eliminate the wine?
What do you mean?
Oh,
why do we do it? Meaning, where did the minig develop from? Oh, so there is an inyan. The Gemara talks in Erev in Daf Mem. The Gemara talks about, and it's an enhancement to a bracha if you're going to go ahead and do it on a cup of wine. There are some Rishonim that even say, you'll pardon me for saying this, but it's in Shulchan Aruch. We don't paskin this way, but some say when a chasen and kala have beer Rishona, they should do it on a cup of wine also. So it sounds funny, how are you going to do it? But what's that all about? Also, because when you do something on a kosher bracha, it gives an enhancement to the bracha, to the mitzvah that you're doing. So Reb Simcha Zelig, who was the Dayan in Brisk, Reb Simcha Zelig said that he always watched Reb Chaim, that when Reb Chaim was Masada Kedushin at a wedding, he would pour a little bit on his hand and he would lick it from his hand.
Okay.
Afikiyam quotes it as well. Reb Soloveitchik said that he never saw such a thing, and he said there's no way Reb Chaim would have done it. Just slumpy, you don't want to spill on your hands and make a whole mess all over the place. Reb Chaim wouldn't have done such a thing. Brisk Rav said his father never did it. Some say that Reb Chaim was so tzanua about his anhaga that even his own son didn't realize. Okay, you can say in both directions. I don't know.
He was
tupping. What?
He spilled down to his hand.
Right, so the Brisker Rav said his father didn't even do that. So others say, no, Reb Chaim was so careful to hide his Midas Chasidus, he didn't want people to know. So even the Brisker Rav, who used to watch his father do everything, he never noticed his father's Midas Chasidus. Okay, whatever it is. Why is it? So why is it that we don't do it? Why is it? Right, but why is it that? Why is it that many don't? Right, so what's this all about? Anyway, you're not really taking care of it. So that's a question. So I think the answer why we don't do it is like you're saying, because you're right. We have two categories of brachas in this realm. We have brachas hamitzvah on the one hand, which you can say yatsa motzi. I can make a bracha for somebody else, even if I don't need that bracha. I can also have Birchas Hanenen, which if you're eating the pretzels, I can't make the bracha, you need to make the bracha. So over here, perhaps, even though you're right, in Shas, it doesn't say anywhere that you have to make the Birchas Eris and not a cup of wine, but since the minig has already developed for so long that we have the minig to make a bracha on a cup of wine, so therefore, it sort of elevated itself to no longer be a Birchas Hanenen, now it's elevated to be a Birchas HaMitzvah. Oh, once it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, now the Masada Kedushin is able to do it on behalf of the Chasen and Kala. Okay? So this is with regard to that. So now we get to the halacha of benching Birchas HaMazon ala kos. What is the halacha of Birchas HaMazon ala kos? So you look in Shulchan Aruch Simen Kuf Pei Beis. Shir tonight till 9:15 or 9:30. As long as people are awake. Till we're finished. Okay. So in Shulchan Aruch, because I have to explain my mistake. It takes a while. My mistake wasn't such a simple one. Uh-huh. What?
Did you start 8:30?
Yeah. Okay, let's see. So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Hilchos Birchas HaMazon Siman Kuf Pei Beis. Let's see in number Dalid. Yesh Omim Shebirchas HaMazon Tu Nakos. Some say every time you bench, you need a bench ala kos. Afilu biyachid. Even if you're benching on your own, you got to have a kos, cup of wine, and that's the way to bench. Vitzarach Lachzer Alav means I'm about to bench. I'm about to run out to a meeting. Nope, you got to start going knocking on all the doors. You don't have a cup of wine. You have to go out of your way to find a cup of wine, even though it's going to be make you late to your meeting. Okay. Says the Shulchan Aruch, not only that, you gotta be late for the meeting, but you're not even allowed to eat if you know that you don't have a cup of wine to bench on. Even if you're gonna miss the whole lunchtime, because no one's gonna have a cup of wine, you're in the office. Who has wine over there? Actually, I had a shayla on Pesach, Gishmaka shayla. Nothing to do with this, but it's just, it was reminding me. When somebody called, it was a very Gishmak, he said that a week before Pesach, his office moved from one location to another location. They sold the old place, they bought a new place. Not for Pesach. Stam, the office location moved completely. Then Chol HaMoed Pesach, he was at work, so that's mistake number one. You're not supposed to work in Chol HaMoed, but he was there. And he gets a shipment from his old from the old office where he used to own. The new owner sent him everything that was left in the closet that they didn't that the movers didn't take. So he has $900 worth of scotch that came on the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach. Mamash Chametz Gomer. So he calls me up from his office, says, Rabbi, what do I do? I said, you have to spill it out. He says, what do you mean? Why can't I sell it to a goy? I said, not an yontif, it doesn't belong to you. What do you mean? It doesn't belong to you anymore. So he said, oh, if it doesn't belong to me, so then why am I over by Rabbi Matze?
Wait, all the chametz that he sold, isn't that considered part of it?
Oh, so you're saying, why don't we say that nichlal in the mechira, when I sell all of my chametz, I also mean to sell
whatever's in
my, but it's not his rishus, he sold the building. It's not his. So it's quasi his. It is his, but it's not his. So take for example. Let's say he realized 2 weeks later that the $900 worth of schnapps, oh yeah, left it in my old office. So he calls up the old office. He says, "Can I have my $900 worth of schnapps?" They say, "Sorry, we spilled it out already." Can he take them to a court case and sue them for $900? Of course not. Why? Your negligence is your problem. So really, You can't say that his Mechiras Chametz went on that. Why? Because he didn't even know it was his. It's not really his. Now they drop it off.
Now it belongs to the guy. Because the guy bought the property with everything in it.
Oh, but now the guy drops it off and he says, I never was kind of...
So
he gives me on Pesach. So he doesn't know anything. The FedEx comes, drops it off on Pesach in my office. What do I do with it now? So I said, you have to spill it out. So he says, what do you mean? I can't even give it to the guy who works in my office. I can't... Forget about selling it. Why can't I give it to him? I said, no. Because there's a halacha. What? Isser Hano. Why is that Hano? Because I give him $900 worth of schnapps. You know what he's going to do back for me? Even if he doesn't give it back, but he's going to be very appreciative. So I can't give it to him. So he says, I can't run downstairs and just drop it in the middle of the street. Come on. So I said, no, because by Rabbi Yamatzi, you're over every second. So calls Mani, stay on the phone with me. The more you argue, the more violation by Rabbi Yamatzi. So that was the din. You're not allowed to use it. You're not allowed to sell it because it's not really yours. You don't have a bailus to sell it. And you're not allowed to give it to a guy because there's an Issar Hano. And you can't go into the street to give it to someone because you're violated by Rabbi Yamatzi every minute. Why can't he sell it on Pesach? Why not? So the Gemara says because... But it's here already. So that's a shayla. Why can't he sell it? So it's a good question. So the Gemara says... Meaning, really, before Pesach, I'm after everything. So really, even if I find a box of Cheerios in my office, it's not mine. However, the Pasuk says, with some respect, in order to violate by Rabbi Yamatzi, the Torah says, it's like it's yours. In terms of other things, it's not like it's yours. So over here, in terms of selling it to a guy, it's quasi mine, quasi not mine. So therefore, I wouldn't be allowed to sell it to a non-Jew on Pesach.
He was makir, or he got rid of all his comments before Pesach, but now the guy that who's in his reshus was gives it back to him.
Right.
So in essence, he was called it. He came into his reshus, he got it as matana, it becomes his.
Right. Correct.
So it is his. So why can't he sell it?
It is his, but doesn't but. We assume that it's like, that's what the Gemara toys with. The Gemara says, in some respects, Chametz of Pesach is considered yours. In some respects, Chametz of Pesach is considered not yours. It's considered Hefker. It's like a quasi-stage. So anyway, so that's just with regard to this. I don't know why I got into this, but it was an interesting Shaila. So, again, back to Shulchan Aruch over here. So the first day in Shulchan Aruch is, even if you're benching B'yechidus, even if once a person's doing Berachas HaMazon, he has to go ahead and do it on a cup of wine. And even if it means Tzorach Labras Manachil Achas, oh, that's how we got into it. I'm in my office. Nobody has wine. Some people talk out of schnapps in the closet. But if I don't have wine, so some days in Shulchan Aruch hold, we take this din so seriously of Berachas HaMazon Al HaKos to the degree that even though you're going to miss the whole lunchtime, still you're not allowed to go ahead and wash if you know you're not going to have a cup of wine to bench on. Lufize, Mshnayim Ochlam Yachad, if two people are eating together, Tzorach L'Kachas Kol Achad Kos the Berachas HaMazon. Okay. However, Yeshomim, Shaina Tuna Kos al Bishloshim. Assume you only need a bench ala kos when you have three people together in Mizuman. Be Yeshomim, the third Shita, Shaina Tuna Kos Klal Afila Bishloshim. Zakhtar Amma, Mikamako Mitzvah Min Amuchar Levarech al Hakos. So the mitzvah is, the minig is, that if you're able to, you should bench ala kos. Minig Olam, the Archashulchan writes, Minig Olam is, Archashulchan's in Simon Kufpe Beis, Minig Olam is that we don't bench ala kos. Generally. Why not? Rosh Hashulchan says, because we're so busy during the week and everyone's running and flying and whatever, you're lucky if you even get through all the words of Berachas HaMazon. I remember we had somebody who came to our Purim Suda, who's a character, and he came to my parents' Purim Suda, and he, it's interesting, he's not a learned person at all. And in the middle of the Purim Suda, he got up and he said, he was not drunk, he got up and he said, all right, I got to go back to work, Rabbi. And he says, Baruch Achmana Rami Lahai Pita. And we're all looking at him like, what? The Gemara says in Brachas, if you're in a real rush, you can say a one-line abridged version of Berachas HaMazon. How does this guy, he doesn't know anything, how does he know how to say that? So that's what he did. He got up, he said that one line, he walked out the door. So it's interesting, but generally...
Bench, what? That's why you always bench.
Yeah, okay, it's nice. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that nowadays we're all in such a rush and we're so busy and we're at work and we're doing whatever we're doing. So he says that's why we have generally not accepted this practice of Berachas HaMazon ala kos. And... Oh, so Shabbos, when everyone's more relaxed and people have more time. So that's why people try to do it on Shabbos more so than during the week. There's no svara why Shabbos should be different than during the week. Shabbos should be the same. Just Aruch HaShulchan explains, during the week, generally, we're busy, we're running around. Shabbos, when we have more time, that's why people are generally a little more careful to try to bench ala kos on Shabbos if they have a minyan, if they're benching with a whole group of people. Or with the mezumin, those are the different days in Shulchan Aruch.
This mezumin on Mufkar, it's mentioned on the
No, that's with its zebra. Yeah. That's with its zebra. So now, again, Magen Avram says, so what happens? I finish my shalashudas, and it's after shkia already. Zakta Magen Avram, Ikar Adin, you're allowed to drink the cup of wine. It's before Abdullah. There's an Isra Achila before Abdullah. No, so the Acharonim explained the reason why the Magen Avram thinks it's okay is because what? Because it's sort of a hemshech from my suit. However, says the Magen Avraham, Bizman Azeh, when we're not makbid to drink a cup of wine every time we bench, meaning on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, I don't drink a cup of wine. So he says, what? Now you're going to come on Shabbos after Shkia, when you're not supposed to be drinking anything, and you're going to say, oh, what do you mean? It's a Hemshech HaMaisudah? What do you mean? You never have it at the end of your Birch Samazin. Says the Magen Avraham, nowadays when we're not careful to drink the cup of wine every time we bench, so you shouldn't do it either after Shalashudas if it's after Shkia. This is what the Magen Avraham writes. Now, what's interesting is that El Yerabba and other Achronim think the Magen Avraham is incorrect. Why the Rabbatan is like this? What's the right thing to do? What does the Ramah say? Right thing to do is Bracha Lakos. During the week, the Aruch HaShulchan says, we have all sorts of excuses. Okay, I can't. Right now, Shalashudas, am I doing the right thing or the wrong thing? Right. Doing the right thing. The Ramah says, Tavala Bracha, Mitzvah Namuvchar, Givaldik. So what? What do you care what I do on Monday and Tuesday? Right now, I'm relaxed. I have plenty of time. I'm benching after Shkia, so what? Let me go ahead and drink my cup of wine. Why does the Magen Avraham say that just because Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday I don't bench Shalakos, so therefore Shabbos I'm not allowed to eat it? That's the taina that the El Yerabba has. And now, here's the geschmack. I saw this week Rav Avadya Yosef has such an unbelievable kasha. And you see the goddess of Rav Avadya. I don't know anybody who learns El Yerabba. The only time you know an El Yerabba is because the Mishnah Berurah quotes the El Yerabba in the Shaar Tzion or whatever. That's how you know El Yerabba. Nobody reads the El Yerabba straight. I mean, maybe we should, but nobody does. So Rav Avadya asks a kasha, a stira in El Yerabba's. Okay? Listen to this. Says Rav Avadya, the El Yerabba, I'm only saying this over, it doesn't help our shir, but it's just such a sharp kasha. So the El Yerabba over here disagrees with the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham says, Bizman Azeh, since we're not makbid to drink alakos throughout the week, so we shouldn't do it shalashudas either. In fact, the El Yerabba, what do you mean? What do I care that during the week you're not makbid? Right now you're doing the right thing. So you see, the El Yerabba holds, you look at the right now. Doesn't matter what you always do. So the Ramah writes in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, in Siman Tavkuf Nun Aleph, that you're not to eat meat in the 9 days. However, if you have a Siyam, Sudas Mitzvah, so you're allowed to eat meat in the 9 days because Siyam trumps the minig of not eating meat. Zakta El Yerabba, what if you're the kind of person that makes Siyam all the time, and every time Siyam don't excite you so much, so you don't have meat throughout the year, every time you make a Siyam. Zakta El Yerabba said it's not right during the 9 days either to have a Siyam, Sudas Mitzvah with meat. Frekar Bavadi, wouldn't he? What's the right thing to do? When you make a Siyam, you're supposed to be excited or not supposed to be excited? You are. You're supposed to be so excited that you make a Sudas Mitzvah, that you make a Fleishigs everything you wash. So, the El Yerabba Lishitoso. If the El Yerabba holds over here that the Magen Avraham is wrong, and the El Yerabba says, right now by Shalashudas I'm doing the right thing, I'm drinking the cup of wine. So he says, I don't care what the Magen Avraham says, right now I'm doing the right thing, I don't care what I do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So to over here, in the 9 days, what do I care that in Cheshvan and Kislev and Teves when I make Siyum I don't have meat? Right now, are you doing the right thing or not? You are. It's during the 9 days. Yeah. You're saying it's more Chamer. Okay,
that's
so.
The whole reason. It's not for a singular person. It's not a communal level.
So therefore,
we should be more Chamer.
And over here, there's a communal Isser to drink before Abdullah.
Oh, it's on you that you drink. Mm-hmm. It's not Isser.
Could be. Sir Rabbi Avadya makes some sort of chilek to explain. I just thought that the kasha is better than the teretz. Kasha is so sharp. Steering the El Yerabba from Hilchos Tisha B'Av to Hilchos Birch Mazon, benching Alakos, a geshmaka kasha. Anyway, so the Magen Avraham again. The Magen Avraham, Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham that again, since Bizman Azeh, why, how come when we bench Alashudas and Shul, we save the cup of wine for Havdalah? How come we don't go ahead and drink it right away? Because generally we're not machmer during the week to drink alakos, so therefore the Magen Avraham says it's not ripe as manazah either. So that's generally what we hold. So now we come to my shaila. We come to my mistake that I made. So what happens? You come to, generally, when you bench by shalashudis, you don't make bar pirah gofen, because we're not machmer during the week. So now you come to the kos shabracha of shever brachas. So what's the din?
The whole week, you machmer the whole week on
shever. So what's the din? So perhaps there should be a major chiluk. The chiluk is like this. To bench alakos, the Ramah says, that's tavala bracha. Really, we hold maker adin, you're not mechuyev to bench alakos. We don't hold like those goyim who say, oh, if you know you're not going to have a kos, you can't even eat lunch. We don't hold like that. We hold it's a nice thing to do if you're able to. If you're not able to, so you don't. Okay, so we don't. It's not such a major thing. By Shavu Brachos, that's part of the Takana. You got to make a bar piyar gofen. So is that the same? What do you mean? Magen Avraham says, why do we assume you're not allowed to bisman hazeh? Why do we assume you're not allowed to make bar piyar gofen and drink the wine after shalashudas? Why? Because we revert back to the Ikar din that you're not really mechuyev to do it. So says the Magen Avraham, when that's in conflict with the din of eating before Abdallah, so that should win out. And we assume you shouldn't drink the cup of wine because the bisman hazeh were not machmir. However, by Shavu Brachos, that's not a chumrah. By Shavu Brachos, that's the Ikar din. We assume by Shavu Brachos, you have to have seven blessings. One of those seven blessings is bar piyar gofen. So Mimela, that's why it wouldn't be the same as the way we paskin by the Kosha Bracha, by Birchas HaMazon. However, the Chachma Shlomer, Shlomo Kluger, disagrees. And he says like this, Nishalti, Hei Chadin B'Kosha Birchas Chasana. Shlomo Kluger asks, what's the halacha when you have the Kapha Shavu Brachos, our Shaila, and it's Acher Suda Shlishis. And obviously he means, and it's after Shkia. So he says, Hayim Mutter Lishtos Menakosas B'Masi Shabbos Kodem Havdala. Hei Shavti, Shlomo Kluger says, Aser Lishtos Mehem. You're not allowed to drink. That's what I thought. Why? I didn't understand that there's a chilek between... I didn't look into the sugya before, so I didn't understand. Why should there be any difference? The same way the minig is, we don't drink the cup of wine, bar piyar gofen, after shalashut is benching. So to why should we drink bar piyar gofen, shever brachas? That's what Shlomo Kluger says. He shab tisha asr lishtos mehem. Sha'afa pisha birchas nesuan nogin the barach tamid alakos. It is a major difference that birchas nesuan, we always make shever brachas alakos. Still mikom akam, kimin shiyesh imo kosha birchas amazon. He says, what happens? By Shever Brachas, we generally have two cups. One cup that you make for benching, and you pour a second cup for the Shever Brachas. He says, what's going to happen? You're going to have two cups of wine, and you're only going to drink one of them. Why? Because you're going to follow the Magen Avraham and say, well, b'zman hazeh, we don't drink the cup of wine for benching. However, the cup for Shever Brachas, we are going to drink. He says, what kind of busha? It's a bizayin to the cup of Birchas HaMazon. Going to say, oh, you're not important, we're not going to drink you. But you are important, we are going to drink you. So he says, a bizayin to the kosher bracha for Birchas HaMazon. So therefore, in order to even it out, we're not going to drink either of them. That's what Shlomo Kluger says.
Why not drink both of them? They mix it?
No. Why not drink both of them? Because you have the Magen Avraham says not to drink the Birchas HaMazon.
Don't they mix?
Now we mix, yeah. Because we hold not so. Right? But one second. But Reb Shlomo Kluger's ha'ara is before we figure out the eitzah nowadays. So he says... So you have a lumdus, it's true you have a lumdus, but stam for the layman sitting around the table, what does he see? He sees you have two cups here. The cup that you benched on, that we're not going to drink, we're going to wait till after Havdalah. The cup that you made the Shevet Brachas on, that we are going to drink.
As long as you're using it for Havdalah, then there's also on the cup
anyway. So this is the question. So this is what Shlomo Kluger holds, as a bizayin to the Kosher Bracha, Birchas HaMazon. So he holds, don't do it. And in fact, in the Sefer Archas Rabbeinu, they quote, that the Maral Diskin and Reb Chaim held like this from Shlomo Kluger, and they said, like I thought, they said, I mean, I didn't know all this lumdus, so I can't make pretend like I knew, but they do quote that there were Acharonim who held like Reb Shlomo Kluger, that in fact you should not drink the Kosher Berachas HaMazon, or the Kosher of Shever Brachas, because we don't want to be Mavaza the Kosher Berachas of Berachas HaMazon. However, the Eishel Avram, the Buchacher, who has commentaries on Shulchan Aruch, so he, in Semeresh Tadi Tes, he says no. Even if you hold like the Magen Avraham by a regular kosher bracha of Birchas HaMazon, you shouldn't drink it because Bizman Hazeh were not makbid. He says, but Lemaisa, it's not the same, it's not comparable. You can't compare the two things. This is Birchas HaMazon, we're not careful about it. This is Birchas Nisun, we're always careful about it. We always make a bar piyar gofen. Not only that, he says, how do you call it Shever Brachas if you're only making six brachas? What do you mean? We're making a Shever Brachas for the Chasan and Kala. Yeah, but tonight we're only going to have six brachas, so you call it a Shesh Brachas, right? He says, from the fact that we call it a Shever Brachas, even by Shalashudas, that's the raya, that obviously you're supposed to drink the cup of wine even though you're benching after Abdullah, even though you're benching after Shkia, and you're supposed to make the Birchas HaMazon, and you give it to the Chasan and Kala to drink, and Shalom Yisrael. That's the way the general practice is. Not like I said, I think the general minig is, like this Eishel Avram, that even though we hold like the Magen Avram, that you're not supposed to drink the Kosher Bracha of Birchas HaMazon after Shalashudas if you bench after Shkia. However, when it comes to drink the Kos of Shever Brachas, we assume that the Chasan and Kala would be allowed to drink because that is Me'ikar Adin, and that's something that we do all the time. Yeah.
And the person benches doesn't.
So there's different Minhagim. Rav Moshe writes, I think, and just look again, Rav Moshe says, Yesh Linog B'Kosher Brachas Chasan B'Zudah Shlishi Shachasam HaKala Yishtu Me'akos. That's where Moshe writes. It's better that the Mavarach himself shouldn't drink. And that's predicated on what we said before, because now this is elevated to become perhaps a Birchas HaMitzvah, so it's not just the Birchas HaNen, so I'm making the bracha on his behalf, it's the Afikiyam. This is why we gave all these Hakdamas in order to appreciate what the halach is. So I think, bottom line, most people have the practice that when you have a Shalosh Udas after Shkia, I think generally the minig is that you give to the Chasan Kala to drink, you make the Bar Pi HaGafen, and even though the Magen Avram says by Kosha Bracha Birchas HaMazon that we have the minig nowadays not to drink it, but this probably, presumably, should be different because the halacha is not exactly the same. Over there it's just the Chumrah, and we're not machmer on the Chumrah throughout the week, so we're not machmer now either. But by Shavar Brachas, where we do have the minig to do it all the time, so therefore we should follow that on Shabbos as well. I think best case scenario is to have the Shavar Brachas finished before Shkia. You don't get into the Shaila at all.
See, Pesach Frank brings in the St. Hadras Kodesh.
Yeah.
Hassan of his grand, of his nephew, and he calls him a Rav Hagom. It was the last Sheva Brachas, and it was Shabbos Shalosh Shudas.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to say Sheva Brachas after, you know, after
Bash, after this man.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So his nephew said, "So say it during the meal before. Why? Because you can say Pokei Bashuk. You say your
Sheva Brachas also,
and that's what they taka did. Sheva Brachas in the middle of the sutra.
So it's like making Abdullah after plug.
Right.
Same. Very good.
So what do you do with the kosher?